What is going on, man? It's your boy Crimson. I wanted to touch base on this. This is a guy that I kind of always quote, and I always talk about him. His name's Chris Voss. He's a former FBI hostage negotiator, and he used to be the head of that department for a number of years. He released a book. I think you could see it. It says, "Never Split the Difference. Negotiate as if your life depended on it." The opening chapter was interesting because he entered his first negotiation without even knowing it. He sat down in front of somebody and they said, "We have your son hostage, and we're not going to release him until you give us $4 billion." And he was surprised. He didn't know how to react. And then he just simply leaned forward and he said, "How am I supposed to do that?" That alone kept the guy baffled, right? And that line has got me out of so many bad pinches. Like his tactics and the way he approaches things has got me out of so much bad shit that I owe him a lot, a lot, a lot. And what I want to share with you guys is something that has stuck with me for a very long time, right? Just one of the little bits of gold nuggets that I got from him, sharing his life experience as a hostage negotiator.
So what are the characteristics that make a great negotiator in your field, and also how do those translate into the business and relationship world, just in general, outside of
Well, let the other side go first. Most people have are so they're burning with their argument. Here's why you should make this deal. And they've got that memorized, and they're not going to listen to a word you say till they get it out. So trying to talk to them is really like trying to talk to a paranoid schizophrenic, because they're rehearsing their speech in their head and their logic, and so they just you just can't get through to them. So you let them go first. And another guy, Ned Coletti, former GM of the Dodgers, friend of mine here in town, phenomenal negotiator. He's lectured at my class at USC also. You know, and Ned always likes to let the other side go first. You know, he did the Barry Bonds deal. He's done a ton of deals across the board. And Ned says, "Well, you know, in a 2-hour phone call, there's going to be 90 seconds of solid gold, where the person I'm talking to, based on changes that they made in their tone of voice and the adjectives that they used, I mean, he's got an instinct for it. He couldn't identify. He just always say, there's 90 seconds of solid gold." And I'd say, "What is that?"
Right.
And we talk it through. And he says, "Well, yeah, it's going to be a change in the tone of voice. It's going to be a different kind of adjective." So Ned wants you to go first because he wants to know what it's going to take to make the deal.
What they want.
Right. Yeah. What they're burning for, or how they characterize what they have.
Or what they're not saying too, maybe.
Exactly right. What someone has failed to say is often a lot more important than what they have said. Which is why I give it a little thought in advance. All right, what are they gonna say if they've got this? So I actually like to look for more of what they haven't said, what's glaringly missing, and that's gonna take. I'm gonna need you to walk through it a couple of times before that jumps out of me.
Okay.
So right there, basically, he said that in order to understand where the person's coming from, in order to create like this tactical empathy that he preaches so much about, you need to, well, empathize. And in order to do that, the best way to do it is to allow the other person to go first. And as he said, oftentimes the things that aren't being said are the key elements to negotiate, you know, the things that you need to be addressed or that need to be addressed. I can't tell you how many arguments I've gotten into with people where the argument itself or that thing itself wasn't the problem. It was other things that led up to that argument, right? So my biggest thing is when a woman that I, you know, or how about this? My boss. And this is a prime example of, like, to get the fuck away from somebody. But I'm going to use this example because it's the most extreme and it's the most common. So my boss and I got into a fight, verbal, and it escalated to almost physical. And what upset me was that he had been basically overstepping his boundaries on a few things. And what led to the argument was his belief was that I wasn't following company safety, and him addressing me about it was what caused the argument. And it wasn't. When he asked me what my problem was, I began to tell him what the problem was, and he interrupted me and told me that it was about something else, that it was about the safety issue, me or him addressing the safety issue. And when I tried to tell him that wasn't the case, he overspoke me again, shouted at me, and then it became it almost became physical. So let's rewind. What had happened was, the company that I work for pays for my phone. Part of it, not all of it, part of it. And what he was suggesting was that because the company pays for my phone, that gives him the right, to basically call me whenever he wants, and I better answer the phone. Okay, that didn't bother me. Even though it was stated very incorrectly, that didn't bother me. What bothered me was I was being disrespected on my phone. And I was being disrespected in person, and I was being disrespected on the field. You know, being talked down to, basically. And I'm trying to figure out what caused this because, I've been a model employee, and I've been there for a year. So it was like, okay, nothing's changed. So what's going on? What am I doing wrong? And when I tried to address it, it nothing was changing. So I started to, get a little context clues in terms of like, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. Maybe I should start, doing more than what I'm doing now. Maybe he's expecting more of me. Basically what it was he was starting to feel comfortable enough to start disrespecting me. That's what it was. And I just didn't know. I just didn't see that. So when I addressed it, he wanted it to be about something else because his power and sphere of control was the logistics, right? And where I was pinpointing his control wasn't the logistics. His behavior that was out of control was the way he was addressing me. Now, this is a prime example of getting the fuck away from people like that. Is when they're disrespecting you, they're overshouting you, and they're starting to get physical. Like, they're starting to... I mean, this wasn't the first time this had happened, by the way. Him trying to get physical with me, and him shouting at me, and him trying to tell me off, wasn't the first time. Once he did it before work, and then another time he did it after work, and now it started to bleed into work. And he had spoken multiple stories or told multiple stories of how he tried to bully other men into getting them to capitulate to his abuse. And I just wasn't having it. That's a sign of narcissism and sociopathic character, personality traits. So that's an example to get the fuck away from somebody. Now say it's a... Let's dial it back a little bit. Let's tune down the character. Let's say it's a person who's, close to you. The immediate reaction is going to be anger, and you need to listen to them. Let them blow the lines out. Now, the first few sections of that argument are going to be nothing but judgment, character assassination, and projection. So, we're going to address the projection last. And we're gonna take the judgments, which are words like you're too something, you're not doing, you're very this, or using words like extremely. So anything to deal with like temperatures or degrees, like you're too hot, for example, would be like too hot, too cold. Loud, like soft-spoken, or what is it? Fast, slow. Those are all varying degrees, right? Of judgment that you're using, or that person is using on you. So, when they start to tell you these things, immediately. Or not immediately, I take a time, I take it all in, and then I say, okay, like, what caused you to believe that? Once they get all their lines out and you say, what caused you to believe that, immediately they're going to do one of two things. They're either going to repeat what they said back to you, and give you a little bit of facts, right, within that argument, or they're gonna take the time to stop, slow down, and when they start to change their adjectives, change their atmospheric temperature in terms of, you know, the argument is starting to dial down because now they get a sense of like, okay, now he's listening. They're gonna tell you something. It's either gonna come in the form of it's going to be the hidden information that you needed in order to get the argument out of the way. For most of my arguments were, you don't listen. In other words, I'm not taking the time I'm explaining to you right now to listen to what, you know, or to take the time to feel what she's feeling or to empathize what she's empathizing. And the only reason why she would say that is because I had built rapport before doing that. So the more I showed that rapport over time, when she started to feel like it was starting to lack, like there was no character consistency, that is when she started to address things the way that she did, right? So for me, it was really important to address that, to get that statement. How do I explain it? It was very important for me to get that statement, from them. Because it reveals a whole boatload of stuff. and again, it's the things that aren't being said that are really telling about what's going on. So, when she told me, when she would tell me, you know, you're not listening, it means that I was emotionally distancing myself. Or she felt that I was emotionally distancing myself. Hold on, let me give you a little more detail. My ex would tell me, you never listen and you're always selfish. I'm like, and then I would ask, okay, well, when have I done that? And if she says you're always doing it, you stay quiet. Because what they're going to want to do is fill the silence. Fill the silence, and they're going to give you examples as to what. To justify it. Because silence, what it feels like, is rejection. What they're going to do is they're going to try to talk to you. And try to get you to understand. And they're going to give you a track record or a history of the things that you've done in the past. Right? And that's the most crucial points. Once they get all those lines out, what I used to do, and this may not work for you, but I would say, huh, it's probably because you caught me off guard, or you probably caught me at a bad time. Immediately, they're going to tell you their judgment of what that is, right? they're going to give you either another example or something else. But if they fire back at you with nothing but just judgment and character assassination or ad hominem attacks, yeah, they're just there just to fight. And you need to get the fuck away from them. But for me, what I would get was, no, because last time you did this when we were in line, and blah, 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 blah. What they're trying to say is, you're not being considerate. What they're really saying is that you're not being considerate of the way that I move in life. You're not being, or what she was saying, excuse me, what she was telling me, because, you know, Hispanics, we have just a very different way of rolling. You know, the person that you're with is a sign of, like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like we tend to want to make the other person look good while we're with them. We're a perfect representation of each other. And so what she was telling me was that, you know, for example, I used to pick her up all the time because she was only like 5'2", just a cute little thing. She's like, you're always embarrassing me. In other words, like, I don't like being treated like a little girl when I'm an adult in front of all these people because you're making a fool of me, right? The things that she was not saying was important. She doesn't like being embarrassed in public. So to me, that told me a lot, right? Because what she was saying was like, I was embarrassing her with intention. When I was telling her, it was like, no, I'm expressing my fucking adoration and love for you because you mean the world to me. Now, here's the thing. I had to weigh my want to express my love for her or give her respect. And giving her respect was the utmost importance. So I would try to negotiate that. Like, okay, well, can I do it in private? Can I do it, you know, when we're alone? Can I do it, you know? Of course, in the beginning, it was always no. But, you know, when emotions spark, when things change, when time goes on, I was able to get away with it, you know? Because I knew the right time to do it. But Chris Voss taught me all that. Through simple understanding and explanations. But then again, like, I've had somewhat some style of training doing this before, so to me it came naturally once I heard what he was telling me and I just added on to it. But getting to the nugget of truth that hasn't been spoken yet is where you want to get to. It's what you really need. And again, sometimes, like he said, you need to rehearse it. You need to get them to talk to you about it 2 or 3 times in order to get them to understand what it is, you know, especially with somebody who you've built no rapport with. You need to establish a pattern of character with that person. Character pattern, excuse me, with that person in order to be able to really see who they are. Any case, I wanted to share that with you because it's helped me out a lot. I guess I could just end it here. Guard your heart.